humbly proclaim that you are an amazing God. We, your children, know that you are an amazing God and trust in you. In Jesus' name we've worshipped. In Jesus' name we've worshipped. Please take your seat, take your pen, take your paper, take your Bible, because you're going to write down. It's great to see you this Sunday afternoon. So turn your Bibles with me to the scripture for the year. Thank you very much, Inspire. God bless you. The scripture for the year, Psalm 107. The title of this message is, Where is My Miracle? Or How to Walk in the Miraculous in 2015. Where is my miracle? I want you to know something, that if God put every single star in the sky and he knows them by name, then he knows you, he knows me, he knows what we need. So don't be deceived by anybody that says you're just a number. Don't be deceived by anybody that says that you don't matter. You might not matter to man, but you matter to God. And that's very, very important. And I want to leave this message with you, because it's a year of his word. And the thing about his word is his word brings miracle. Everywhere Jesus goes, when he wants to change somebody's life, he sends his word to them. God's word is what changes our lives. The Bible says that as we behold him as in a mirror, we are changed from glory to glory. We are changed from one level to the other. The change that comes, it comes from his word. So this is the year of change. In effect, this is the year of his word. This is the year of change. This is the year of miracle. This is the year of his presence, because him and his word are one. And if you look at the book of that Psalm 107, if you take time to read the whole book through, but the key scriptures that we are dwelling on as a church is from verse 17. It says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their souls abhor all manner of food, and they drew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men will give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Then he now went ahead and talked about another bunch of people. He said, those who go down to the sea, they went to do business on the great waters. So they're business people. They're skilled people. They went about their lives. They went about doing what they know how to do. They had the skills to do them. They are quite confident in what they can do. And they, you know, approaching the year the way they've always approached the previous year, because they, you know, they don't need to go and learn anything new. However, when they got into the place where they need to go to, if you read further in that scripture, the Bible says that they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. So they've seen the works of the Lord in the past. They've seen his wonders in the deep. It's not new to them. However, on this particular occasion, the Bible says, I commanded and raised the stormy winds, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heavens, and they go down again into the depth, and their soul melts within them in the trouble, because they got scared. They got scared, they got worried. Verse 27 says, they reeled to and fro, and they staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses, and he calms the storm so that the waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guided them to their desired haven. One of the things I love most about this scripture is that there are different bunch of people, there are different types of people, different types of challenges, different phases of life. But one thing that was common then in that scripture was, in their challenges, they cried out to the Lord. But God did not just hear them, store the prayers, he heard them, he answered the prayers, actually changed things around for them. So I realized that sometimes we have storms of life for various reasons. So in that scripture, it talked about people that had the storm of life. We have different things. In that scripture, it also shows us some people wandered away from God. Sometimes storms of life happen because of us and the things we have chosen to do. Or when God speaks to us, we chose not to do, whichever way it goes. Things happen in our lives not because God wanted it to happen that way, but because we have decided to do what we feel like doing. Because sometimes we actually assume that it's God that just does everything, and it's not true. Some of it are things that are self-inflicted challenges. You go down the wrong turn the first way. The problem of, I always say to, when my children were really young, I used to say to them, don't bother lying. Because two things, when you lie, you've done something, you've said that the person you're lying to is more important than God, because God can see everything, and God gets hurt when you lie. So you're saying mommy or daddy is more important than God, which is probably not a right way of living your life. And the second thing is, you need a lie to cover a lie. Then you will have forgotten the first lie you told. and gets you into more trouble. So sometimes it's because we take the wrong turn in life that some challenges come our way. And that scripture made us understand in the book of Psalm 107, different types of people that took different turns sometimes. And the storms come. So if you look at the book of Jonah, God wanted him to do something. He wanted to do something else. So the storms of life came. So in that situation, Jonah brought the storms of life upon himself. There are sometimes that it's God that is actually stirring the water for a purpose. And storms happen because God is the one stirring the water. So like in the book of Mark chapter 6, God was the one stirring the water. In the book, also in this particular scripture, the Bible says that God stirred the storms because he wanted to show himself strong on their behalf. And then sometimes it's actually the devil as well. But we're not really looking into storms of life at the moment. I'm just saying as we go on the journey of the year, looking up to God for a miracle, miracles do happen, great things do happen. However, we also need to walk in line with God. And I really need you to get the sermon for second service. Pastor talked to us about godliness. And there was a particular scripture there I absolutely love. That scripture said, which I'd never seen it that way before. It said you cannot prosper if you live in ungodliness. It's that simple. So if you expect God to prosper you, you've got to walk in the straight and narrow. However, with the children of Israel, time and again, they never wanted to walk in the straight and narrow. They wanted to coin a path and a road for themselves. Turn with me to the book of Judges chapter 6. We're going to dwell here a little bit. Where is my miracle? You know, sometimes some of us ask this question, where is my miracle? And we don't ask it out. You think about it. You don't really come out to say, where is my miracle? You think it's not a generally accepted thing to say in public. As a Christian, you shouldn't say that. But some people looked at last year and last year ended and you're thinking, well, I was trusting God for this. I wanted that. They said faith. I used faith. They said walk in the straight and narrow. I did. They said believe. I did. They said fast. I fasted. And you have all of these things that you believed you have done. However, you're asking yourself, in Judges chapter 6, some things happened to the children of Israel. And Gideon had to ask God when God came visiting that, excuse me, God, where are all these miracles they're talking about? So at some point last year, Pastor declared that it was that we're going to get mystery money. As the year was going towards an end, I'm thinking, I am not going to just sit down here and not partake of this. I must get mystery money somehow. I must get mystery money somehow. When somebody else come and give their testimony, I say, okay, God, what did I not do last month? I keyed in, I believed, I heard it, I read it, I believed the word from the moment. Go, why have I not had mine? Why have I not had mine? And I kept on telling myself, I'm going to have mystery money. I'm going to have mystery money. So every month that was going, I'm saying, I'm going to have more than last month. So if I wanted £1,000 in January, so I wasn't surprised when I think it was August or something, we got £8,000. I'm not surprised because I've been waiting £1,000 every single month was what I believed God for. So I'm not surprised that God visited me 8 months down the line after Pastor said it, because I said to God, I would know it's mystery money if it's £1,000. That's what I said to him. So give me £1,000. So when it did happen, the first month Pastor declared it, I said it's next month and it's now £2,000. It's next month. That's what I kept believing God for. So some people say, but where is my mystery money? Somebody said that to me recently that I didn't get any and I don't know why. I said, the good thing is, it's on this year again, so let the race begin. If I were you, I'd say, God, now I want 10. Because you didn't give me 100, whatever it is you want. But trust your God. But in the book of Judges, something that was very interesting about the book of Judges, let me just quickly tell you a little bit about it and then I'll teach you about this, is the fact that the children of Israel were going through a cycle. And if you read the book of Psalm 107, which is where we are focusing on this year, the people were going through a cycle. They go through something, they come out of, they cry out to the Lord, he delivers them, they're happy, and then the next thing they go through another thing, and it was just like a vicious cycle. And in the book of Judges, it was exactly the same thing. The children of Israel walk away from God, they run into trouble. The trouble is so bad, they cry out to the Lord. God comes and delivers them and gives them a word. Gives them a prophet, give them a leading, give them wisdom to handle the problem at hand. They praise the Lord, they're happy, and guess what? A few months down the line, they are forgotten. And that is so much like many of us. In fact, I wrote it down as a cycle of realization, reaction, rescue, rejoicing, reaching out, and go back again. Another person called the ABCD, which is apostasy to bondage, to the Christ, to deliverance, and apostasy all over again. I don't know many of us that say, God, I will never do this again. Just do this one for me. This one. This is it now. I will never come down this route again if you let me. Just deliver me out of this problem. And God delivers. And a couple of months down the line, we are forgotten. We are forgotten what we've promised. We are forgotten what we told him. And in Judges chapter 6, that was exactly, so that's painting the picture of the moment. If you read from verse 1, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites for 7 years. I want you to write the scriptures down, go home and read and meditate on them again, because I will be teaching you. And the hand of the Midianites prevailed against Israel, because the Midianites and the children of Israel made for themselves the den and the caves and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up, and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. And then they would encamp against them and destroy and produce the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for the Israelites, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. You walk really hard and something happens and clears it all up. I don't know if you've ever been there before. You worked really hard, you put all your savings together, and the next thing you got a phone call from somewhere that someone is ill, and you have to put every single thing on flight money or hospital money to take care of that person. That's the end of the savings. You work really, really hard, and somebody is preparing you for the next position, for the next appointment, only for you to be told that the recruitment officer that is in charge of that particular organization has left. You work really, really hard. You have been prepared. You have been put as a deputy or an assistant or a trainee manager. And then all of a sudden, management changes and all of a sudden you have to start all over again. I don't know if you've ever been there. You are the one that have implemented all the change. You are the one that have done every other thing for everybody. When it's time for recognition, something changes. I know somebody that once told me a story that she's been in United Kingdom for a while, and at that time, there was something about the law that if you stay for 5 years with a particular kind of visa, everything will be sorted for you. On her four and a half years, that's a better English. You won't believe the law changed and it became 7. Just a few months before she got to 7, because apparently you're allowed to apply when you're a few months to go, the law changed again. Another party took over. And then it now changed to 9 or 10. 10. You know the one I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, this person that's supposed to have stayed for 4 years, I've now found herself on the same queue for 10 years. And I bet in her mind, maybe she's like the Israelites, you work really, really hard and somebody else gets the glory. You work really, really hard and it's just not showing. Maybe it's in your marriage, you're working really hard. A marriage takes 2 people. You can work really hard and the other party decide not to do anything. And it just looks like it's just making a mockery of the whole thing. You're working really hard on behalf of a particular child and that child just decides to do what they want to do. And the old world thinks that you're a lousy mother or a lousy father. But that's not really your fault, because you're doing your bit. But things are happening. And it seems like the goalposts just keep changing. And that was what was happening to the Israelites at that time. So it got so bad that they had to go and hide. And the Bible says, if you read from verse 6, it says, so Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, it's the year of his word. Every time people are in challenges, every time, and it actually starts from recognition. Because if you don't recognize a pattern, you don't even know that there's a challenge. You know that's possible? I read the story of a little kid that went to Disney in France with her grandma. And grandma, because she took 4 of them, decided that she was going to give them a little flag to hold on to, so that she can see them all, just in case she loses them. It's always been her dream to take her grandchildren to Disney. And as they were going into, they went to the park and all the fanfare were going on. And after a while, grandma started looking for this kid, could not find the child. She looked and looked, and it was really a nightmare for her, as you would expect in a place like that. After some hours of looking and people looking for her, she said, let me find a child that has this type of flag. And they saw a kid following Mickey, dancing nicely behind Mickey with a flag. The child did not even know that she was lost. It was grandma that had been looking for the child for the past 1 hour. The child was having the fun of her life just following Mickey. And sometimes that's actually the problem some of us have. We are so lost in what we are supposedly doing that we don't even know that the devil is cheating us off what we are meant to have. So you don't even know what you are not having, and you don't even know what you are missing. You know, Pastor said that thing earlier, that the saddest thing in life is missing out on things, but the worst part of it is not even knowing that you are missing out on anything. I once met a couple that said that they don't believe it is possible for couples not to fight. That is a major problem. That's a major problem. They said they do not believe it's possible for 2 people not to fight each other that are married. And they have been married for over 5 years by the time they said that. So can you imagine what they are going through every single day? So when we said we've been married around that time, we've been married for 7 years, that we have never fought once, the gentleman said it's not possible. Can you see? It's possible to find yourself in a place where you don't even know something is wrong. Or when it's wrong, you give excuses and you just excuse it away. Well, the child is locked just like that because. The husband is just like that because. This workplace is just because I am. It's just because I'm not. It's just because. But it's time to stop and realize that there's a need for something different. So the Israelite cried out to the Lord, and the Bible made us understand that God sent a word to them. And I believe very strongly, because God knows that you have cried out to him. That is why this year is the year of his word. Because his word is what leads to every miracle you will ever, ever, ever want. It's his word. That's all you need. This is all you need for all the miracle you need throughout this year. This is all you need. If you acquaint yourself with that, I'll show you that in a few minutes. And then the Bible made us understand, God then went to look for a gentleman called Gideon. But I love what it said. Because many of us think it, but we don't say it out. Verse 13. Gideon said, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then are all these things happening to us? Why and where are all his miracles?" And that's what I'm talking about. Where are all his miracles? If God is with us, why are these things happening to us? It seems to be sometimes that it's only children that ask those kind of questions. You know, if you tell a child that, oh, that family is a Christian family and something happens to them, they go, "So why?" But you know, adults, we explain it away in our mind. We say, we can't say why. Even if you are thinking it in your heart, you can't say it out. Because people will think, "Are you for real? You can't say that in public." You know, or you say, where are my miracles? Where are all the miracles? If God is for us, where are the miracles? And Gideon asked that question, and it's a genuine one. And sometimes I want you to sit down and ask yourself. And when Pastor, I think a couple of weeks ago, he declared that we're going to have 3-day miracles, I started telling myself by day 2, where is my miracle? God, I am experiencing my miracle, because when the word comes from the pulpit, genuinely speaking, I take it with the whole of my heart. I was ready for a miracle. It didn't matter how big or how small the miracle was, I was ready for a miracle. Do you know what happened to me? I attempt, let me use that word, to go to my local gym. About 4 times a week, I attempt to. So I was going on this particular Monday, but I didn't go the whole of December for various reasons. So going that day was interesting. So I got there and I was going for, so I tend to do a mile run and then I do a class called spin or cycle. So I was going in and I realized that you can't do spin without water. I didn't have a bottle. I'd left my bottle at home. I couldn't find my gym bottle anymore. And then I left anyway, for various reasons, there was no bottle. So I thought maybe I would have money. I didn't have physical money on me. I was not pleased with myself at all. So I said, "God, Pastor said in 3 days we'll experience a miracle. This is day 2. You have to give me a miracle. I'm not going to beg anybody for a bottle or for water." So I got to the gym. As I got there to give my card to the lady, she said to me, she said, "Oh, you usually bring a stamp. So there is like a loyalty form that you bring in and they stamp you anytime you go in. And when you've done so many classes, automatically they ask you, they give you something. So they put a prize draw in and then they give you something." She said, "Oh, you're meant to bring your card in." So I looked into my gym bag. My card was still there. I brought it out. She stamped it and it was the completion of a whole set. I said, "Well, now you are due a bottle of water." I said, "Really?" I smiled. She said, "All for the bottle?" I said, "No, you don't understand." So I left that place thinking, wow, 3-day miracle. I got mine. So I was expecting it. Nothing was going to stop it. And I was saying, "God, 24 hours cannot finish without me getting this, because the man of God said in 3 days we'll get it. So why shouldn't I?" But that was the question that Gideon was asking. If they say God is with us, why are we not seeing these things? What exactly is missing? Why are we not experiencing the miracle? I must say, however, that a miracle is an intervention or an interruption of natural things that God does. So God is the one that does miracles. So I'm going to just say a few things to you so that we can put things in perspective. All right? So it's an event that is not producible by normal course of action. So it's not because you did that and you say, "Okay, well, I got a miracle. I'm the one that tried to, you know, make it happen for God." No, we don't help God. We don't help God. Don't help God. Don't lie with, for, or against God to get a miracle. Don't plant the money there and say God has given the money. You know, some of us, the mothers, when we were younger, We used to say to the children, no, don't believe in tooth fairy, but God still gives money. So you put £1 under the pillow so that that child can meet a pound in the morning. I've seen people that have done that before. Say, we don't believe in tooth fairy, but God still gives. So we put your teeth there and then it's not true. It's not true. Don't give them false expectation. Because God is more than enough to sort things out for himself. However, our challenge is most of the time is that we are either not keyed into what God is saying. Maybe it's not the right time, but that will just show us one or two things that can stop us from actually experiencing the miracle. Because when is the year of his word? For certain is the year of a miracle. For certain is a year where your life will change. But the question is, we need to just make sure that we address every aspect of our lives to make sure that we partake of that which has been spoken. Pastor, this earlier on this the service just before this one, he was talking to us about the fact that if we don't live a godly life, as in clean up and clear up the things that need to be cleaned and cleared, there's no way God can visit. God doesn't visit dirty people. God doesn't visit dirty places. See, there was once a time, a short while ago, about 10 years ago now, I used to drive a particular car. I loved my car. And I love speaking to God in my car. So I'm not one of those people that play music and all in the car. I don't quite do that much. I listen to the news, but I pray when I'm driving. And I don't like when people throw things outside their car. So if I have this, I throw it in my car that I will take it all out later. So the intention is to take it all out later. So you have wraps of this and that and that. And it was becoming a junkyard very, very quickly. Although it didn't look like that to many people, but I knew it. I could feel it. One day I got on the motorway. I was driving home from church. I was on the A2. And I heard very, very clearly, if cleanliness is next to godliness, God is not in this place. I parked my car on the A2. I found the next hard drive. I parked my car at shoulder and I cleaned my car. There is no way I wanted to pray in that place and want God to visit me when my car is that dirty. I just thought, no. If I am God, even me, I won't visit this car. So what's the point? So what I'm trying to say is, that is just a car. Whatever it is in your life and my life, if it's dirty, if it's messy, if God cannot visit us, God cannot give us the miracle we want. So let's clean up. But that is second service mainly. And if you, again, once more, I say, please, get the CD or get the message for second service. But there are some things that I wanted to say as characteristics of miracles. The first one is that it comes at the worst moment of time. Worst moment in time where you just think, am I ever going to see a hand of God in this one? Is God ever going to come through for me? It comes at a time where you just think you've reached your wit's end. And that's why I love that scripture in Psalm 107, verse 29. It said they got to their wit's end. They got to everything they've tried. They could try. They have tried. And nothing worked. And then God stepped in. And that's the beauty of this our God. That this year is still in the business of doing that same thing. Another thing about miracles is that they come when we cannot help ourselves. We're very good at trying to help ourselves. We're a bunch of self-help generation. I've learned so many things I never learned in school. For 4 years, you learn some things in school. And then you can sit down and pick up a book for the dummies and then you just get it. I say something for dummy. It doesn't matter. And then they make a mockery of all those that went to school to study those things for 4 years or 5 years or 10 years. Because I can sit down here and say, well, I need to just read how to become an astronaut. I can get an astronaut book for the dummy. Okay, you think it's funny, but how to become a pilot? You know you can have simulation and have every single experience and you can read it. Okay, the real pilots won't believe that. But you can read a lot of things. So because we now have a self-help generation, many times when we have a challenge, whether we believe it or not, the first thing that comes to mind is, who can I call? It never comes to our mind automatically to call God, particularly because we think, oh, well, the first thing that, who has gone through this before? Oh, I know somebody, or Bola must know somebody that. Or she's the pastor. There's no way she won't know somebody in the whole church of 500 people that have gone through this. Meanwhile, you have not called God, who probably has the solution in the hands of your next door neighbor, not the pastor. You don't know. You don't know until we ask God. So unfortunately, as long as we keep helping ourselves, God can't step in. And many of us have messed so many things up because we're trying to help ourselves. Sometimes we mess things up because of the counsel that we have received from so many people that are supposedly trying to help us. We are not in charge of miracles, and we can never determine the time or the method. How God is going to do it, you will never know. Until he steps in. So understand that. If you understand this basic truth, at least We will know how to position ourselves to get the miracles that God wants in store for us. And then a miracle is not explainable, it's illogical. So what exactly are the things that are stopping it? Why would God put a point out and God says to us, this year is a year of his word. This month you get miracle money, 3 days' time. I don't know how many of you have been using your hand, but since today my hand got anointed, I don't take anything that is done from this pulpit. I do not take it for granted. I don't say, Pastor said in first half, it doesn't matter. I don't. Every single, if it's an instruction, I follow it and I follow it to the last letter, because if the variable is me, then I will not stay out of line. Because God's word is real, it doesn't change. God's prophet sends and brings the word, so I'm positive about that. I'm not worried about that at all. So the only variable is me. If I receive the word and walk the word will work for me. That's my policy. So when God anointed our hands, one of the things I did, all the things I am involved in, I actually went, some of them I can't see physically, I laid my hands on the things that typify that thing I'm involved in, because my hand has been anointed. What have you done with yours? What have you done with it? If you really were believing God and expecting, what have you done? So, what are the constraints of miracle? There are four things I'm going to mention. So, the first one I mentioned there was characteristics. What are the constraints? What are the things that stops us from experiencing miracle? Doubts. And that is very easy to pick up. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. I want us to read that scripture. Matthew 13, 58. And I'm going to just mention briefly, why do we doubt when the word comes? Because if you're going to get anywhere this year, in the year of his word, you need your faith. You need to believe. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58 says, And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I need to reread that. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He wasn't able to do a lot. When there is unbelief in our life, God is not able to do a lot. If you're going to experience a miraculous life, continuous miraculous life in your life and the lives of your children and the life of everybody around you, if you're going to control the situation around you by faith, you need to walk in faith and not in doubt. The reason why a lot of us walk in doubt, let's start with that, is because we have an experience. Somebody tells us an experience. We've heard about it. We've seen it before. Well, if the market goes this way, this is what happens next. Because the oil prices are now going down, that means that they are getting rid of people that work in the oil industry. I can never get a job in the oil industry at this stage. Why would an organization want to hire me when they are firing everybody? Every time there is doubt like that, God cannot step in. A brother friend of ours, pastor gave him a word. And then he went ahead and he went through such a rough time. I was so pained by what he went through. I was pained for him. And the pastor just said something, God will restore to him. It was just that simple. And I remember calling and saying, God will restore to you. Do you know how God did it? He was treated so badly in his previous workplace. Then he got another role. He was a contractor in the other role. And then exactly what happened in the other place happened in the new place, which was they were getting rid of every single person that was there. They got rid of every single permanent staff and left only him. How do you do that? How do you get rid of permanent people and leave only the contractor? And then they now got people to apply to come back into the organization. And guess who interviewed them? Him! That's how God restores. That's how God restores. But you know this gentleman, he believed it so much. There was not a single iota of unbelief. Now the way the market goes, the way the mind goes, there is no way he should have believed that. Because it didn't make sense. Brethren, sometimes God does not make sense, but you don't need him to make sense. Because your sense and my sense have not delivered more than this. So let's allow him to do what he needs to do. So please, move away from the doubt lane and move yourself into the faith lane. If they say, this year, everybody's going to get married, even if this is December 23rd, I'm going to believe God if I wear your shoes. I don't know how God is going to do it, but he can do it. Pastor said something earlier. He said success for a Christian in the first service. He said, is God putting you on a speed lane? That is part of the program and the process with God. Another thing that I believe very, very strongly that stops us from experiencing miracles is disobedience. John chapter 2 verse 5, Jesus' mother was talking to the people in John 2, 5. And she said something, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. John chapter 2 verse 5, every time we disobey, we cannot experience this miracle. Why did I say that? It's simply because if God has a path for you to take and provisions on the path, and you choose to go and take another path, there will be no provision on the other path. If God says, don't marry this person, and you go ahead and you marry them, I mean, like we always say, where I come from, whatever your eyes see there is your business, really. Because there's only so much God can do. Very, very earlier on in life, my mentor used to say, God does not pay for what he did not order. Well, you cannot force God to pay for what he didn't order. If Amazon drops something through your post and you did not buy anything from Amazon, you return it. So why do you expect God to pay for what he didn't tell you to do? Why do we start a venture, start a project, start something, God was not in it, and then say, God, please back me up. Please, please, please back me up here. Don't disgrace me, Lord. But you didn't tell him before you went in. He didn't tell you that he was in it. Every time there is disobedience, every time we don't walk the path that he has given to us, there's always challenges ahead. And I always say to people, if you know that this is what you want to do, just be prepared for the challenges because they will come. Now, I'm not saying that God will tell you to go through a path and there will not be challenges, but there's always grace to carry the challenge. That's what I've discovered. Are there challenges on the path of someone that is following the path that God wants them to go? Yes, but there's so much grace. There's so, so much grace. It's unbelievable. Because number one, you are assured that God is with you. And it makes such a difference. So you have a sense of peace in your spirit, even when everything could be going upside down. The third thing is distraction. Distraction. Another reason why we don't experience miracles. A word is said, the moment you step out of church, you are forgotten. Because of everybody that is saying hello to you, the funfair, fanfare, the reason why you didn't come to church in the first instance. That's not why you are coming. Don't let anyone distract you from experiencing God. You know the worst part of this whole thing? We experience God as individuals. We don't experience God in groups. So when I come to say, I got mystery money, you can praise the Lord for me. You can clap for me. But you know at the end of the day, it goes into my account only. It doesn't go into yours. You still need to come and say your own. You still need to get your own. So in this whole walk that we have with God, don't allow yourself to be distracted this year. If there is something I'm very, very particular about, because I see it so much, a lot of Christians having a very, very strong heart to serve the Lord, a very strong desire to serve the Lord all around the year, but they get distracted. I know someone, every single time they have sown, they have watered, it's time for them to reap the harvest, they stand and up it and start all over again. In fact, they do it so in such a bad way that they actually uproot their own seed wherever they put it originally and go and start all over again. And start all over again. They build relationships. When the relationship is about to start yielding, they leave that person and go and start all over again with another person. And while they are doing that, they destroy that person, destroy themselves, destroy all the faith they ever had in another person and start all over again. When it's time for harvest, they move again. When it's time for harvest, they move again. Such a person can never experience the miracles of God. Every time you notice that you are being distracted, be careful, be mindful. I'm a very practical person. There was once we were living in Thameslink when we used to live in a room in a house in East London, and then God promoted us to Camden, and then God promoted us to Thamesmead. When God promoted us to Thamesmead, there are different stories behind each of them, but it's not for today. When we got promoted to Thamesmead, we had a 3-bedroom property. It was a housing association house, but we were always all in one place because there was no carpet and all those things to furnish the rest of the places. But we had a sister. She was lovely, the loveliest person you can ever meet in your life. She used to come and visit with us, stay with us in that our little place. They have a big house, their own home. She will come, she will bake, she will cook. Now, I'm not the best. I don't bake anyway. Not that I'm not the best baker. But, you know, she cooks. She is such a good cook. I barely cook. So, I mean, I do the basics. Don't think I'm a bad person. You know, so she just does all these nice things and come right after church on a Sunday. And just like, if you don't believe it, if you've ever heard the sermon on the Sermon on the Mountain, the one that talks about, and the seed was sown, and the birds of the air came, and they came to pick it. Actually, that's what she does for the next 6-7 hours. Because she will pick on everything Pastor has said, and pick it, and pick it, and pick it, and pick it, and pick. And then, you know, so criticize the carrier of the message. You know, when the carrier of the message is already criticized, you're beginning to think, what he said, maybe, maybe not. Even though it's the word of God. She just, my pastor used to put it this way. She actually sits down to dinner table and bring a knife and fork and start dissecting the pastor and all pastors in the world. And our conversation never goes outside of those. This is me trying to make friends in United Kingdom. Because I'm not particularly, I didn't have friends. And I didn't come, I'm not one of those people. Neither of us, but one of those people that have always had families, relations, people in UK. So you are our people. We don't have any other family. If you come to our home, you can only meet church members. You can't meet anybody else. You are the only people we have. And so she will come, trying to make friends now. And then she will talk about one pastor. So, and somehow she has walked away, probably by cooking, very, very close to most of these pastors all her life. So she knows so much about them. In fact, one day, after she left, I was so tired. And then my husband then called me and said, next Sunday, tell that woman, I don't want to see her in this house again. So how am I going to tell her? How am I going to tell her? Because as far as she's concerned, she's baking for him. Because he told her he liked the carrot cake and she was always baking it. I don't even eat cake. You know, and so I said, and then she's told me already the way she was going to make the next carrot cake for the next Sunday. And he said I should tell her she shouldn't come to our home again. He said, because I need God and I don't want this in my home. So the following Sunday, we had to go out. We didn't have enough money to buy petrol, but we had to go out. So we went to sit in the park and waited. Oh, are you going home? We're not going home. And it's not a lie. So we'll sit in the park and wait. Because we needed to preserve our destiny. Don't allow distraction destroy your miracle this year. Nothing anybody says, nothing anybody do should take your eyes away from where God is taking you this year. Because God has a big thing for you. Don't allow it. Oh, that pastor did that, that sister did that. Don't. That's not why you came to church. That sister is not wearing that. That sister is wearing. That's not why you're here. That car is this. I don't care. You're here to meet with God and for a change of story. And I tell you something. This is one place you experience that. But focus. Focus. That's why I make a big fuss. If you're a mother and you're a mother in toddler's room and you're chatting, I'm thinking, you don't understand. Great things are happening here. I need your life to change. When your life changes, our story has changed. Remember I told you, like, you're our family? When your life is good, our life is great. When anything affects you, it affects us so much in my home. You won't believe it. That's all we talk about around the clock. So it has to be well. It has to be well with you. So we pray it, then we enforce it by making a big fuss about what you're not doing right. So if we make a fuss, apologies, but it's because it's out of love more than anything that you could ever think about. Don't allow yourself to be distracted this year. You started well. You know it's possible to start the race, read the book of Revelation, and not finish it well. You started your year well. Don't permit yourself to be distracted. Sunday mornings is for God. Sunday is for God, actually. We tell ourselves Sunday is not Sunday morning only. And not because we're pastors. It's always been like this. You know, give yourself to God. Allow God move. If it is the year of his word, it just means one thing. You will only excel through his word this year. So if the word is not there, you can't excel. So focus on the word of God. The last one is discouragement. If you look at that, Judges, and for distraction, Numbers 11, verse 4 and verse 10. Numbers 11, verse 4 and verse 10. The thing that was very interesting about that Numbers is the mixed multitudes that were just suggesting things to them. And because now, the mixed multitude were not part of the covenant. They were there to discourage the people. They're not part of the covenant. So they're just keeping company with you. They're not part of where you're going to. Yet they were speaking, it's the mixed multitude that was among them. They fell into lust, and the children of Israel also fell into lust because the mixed multitude did. Don't allow mixed multitude push you away from God, what God has in store for you this year. The last one there in constraint, or the things that stop us from experiencing miracles, is discouragement. If you look at Judges chapter 6, verse 13, that gentleman was discouraged. Sometimes you get discouraged because you have believed God and it hasn't happened. You are more discouraged again and you think, will it ever happen? It won't happen, and so on and so forth. But I want to say something to you, that your God who has given you the promise is faithful enough to bring it to pass. If it is a year of his miracle, he will do his miracle in your life. Please never allow distraction, never allow disobedience, discouragement, or what's the other one? Doubt. Stop you from entering into what God has for you. So, let me quickly say the things you need to do to be commanded. So, I've told you what you shouldn't do, but let me tell you what you should do. Turn your Bibles to Job. God has the capacity and the ability to change your story over and over and over again. But I'll tell you three things that you need to do from Job chapter 22. The Bible says, and I read from verse 21, "Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, his instruction from his mouth, and lay up his word in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tent. Then you will lay gold in the dust, and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver. For then you will have your delight in the Almighty, and you will lift up your face to God. You will make your prayers to him, and he will hear you. You will pay your vows, and you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine upon your ways. Brethren, light will shine upon your way this year in Jesus' name. But you have something to do to get there. The very first one, acquaint yourself with his word. There are three things for you to constantly command the supernatural or a miracle this year. The first one is his word. The second one is your walk, W-A-L-K. And the third one is your works, W-O-R-K. What do you do? All in that scripture. So let me just run through them very quickly. God's word, verses 21 to 22. It says that you should get acquainted, get familiar, get used to God's word. Acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. If there is any year you never experience peace, if you really look at it closely, or any time you don't experience peace, it's because you have not acquainted yourself with the word of God. Because even if there are storms around and you are acquainted with the word of God, you will be at peace in the midst of the storm. I have seen people that have gone through the most dramatic, negative things anyone has ever heard about in life. I mean, I've seen a bit. And they are at peace. And you can see that peace of God in the midst of that challenge. And it's simply because they are acquainted with what God has said earlier. The greatest thing or the greatest challenge you will face is when you don't even know what God is saying about it. So you're not even sure whether you're meant to be in that challenge or not. So this is the year to acquaint yourself with his word. That is, get familiar with his word. Pastor once preached the message, and I don't know what he was preaching about that day, but the way he described it, it never left my spirit. He said, with the word of God, it's like you're storing up. So it's like storing up data, storing up codes. You take it in, and I'm very big on saying, read the Bible. Even when you don't need it, read it, because you're storing up the word. Why did I say that? Because a day will come you will need it, and somehow, the scripture you've read will come out. If you have not put the data in, there is no code you can put in that will bring the data out. It will just constantly give you error message. You can decide that you're going to call somebody. Oh, let me just call Pastor Bola. Supposing she's not available or network is failing. What will you do? Oh, let me call my command center. Covenant center. Connect group. It used to be called Covenant Center. Let me call my Connect group leader. Supposing he's recording on that day, if it's midday, you're in for a good one because it's not going to come out of the studio for hours. So you need to have God's word in your spirit. Acquaint yourself with the Lord and be at peace. Therefore, good will come to you. Many are constantly chasing good, but good do come to some people, and it still does. You can stand there and good things come to you. People remember you. People just think, well, you used to be in this field. I just want to recommend this for you or you to this thing. It does happen to people. This year, if you want to walk in the miraculous like that, you and I need the word of God. Get acquainted with God's word. It says we should receive the instruction, verse 22. Receive it from his mouth and then lay up his words in your heart. Let your heart think about God's word every time. When you see a challenge, think about God's word. What exactly does God have to say about this? In actual fact, it's a way of developing yourself. When something happens and you see something, you can tell yourself, that's interesting. Many of us say, if my mom was there, she would have said. You know we do that. I do that. I see something, I say, if my mom had seen this one, she would have. Why don't you think, if God sees this, this is what he would think? So it automatically comes to our mind when we have people that we love around us. When you see something, you think, if my wife was here. Every now and then when I see something, I say, I can't wait to tell her. So I pick up my phone, I call pastor, I say, you will never believe what I just saw now. You will never believe what I've just gotten myself into, whatever it is. So those things come to mind and say, my husband will have said this, my fiancé will have said it, my mother will have said it. Always think about it from the other angle too. What would God have said? Because God has seen it. And then test yourself, whether you really know. And if you think you don't know, go and read a little bit more to find out. That's how to develop yourself. It's not rocket science. Just sit down a little bit per time. You'll be amazed when you look at yourself at the end of this year. If there is any year you should grow in his word, it should be this year. Because it's the year of his word. Acquaint yourself with him. Be at peace. Therefore, good will come to you. Lay up his word in your heart. Lay it up like treasure. Then he now says something. Your walk, your walk. If you return to the Lord, verse 23, you will be built up. If you return to the Lord. And if you say, God, there are some things I'm not going to do again. I'm just not going to do this. It doesn't matter. Let me die living right, but I'm not going to live unrighteous life. Let me be alienated living right. I'm not going to live wrongly. Make that decision and then walk the path. He said, if you return to the Lord, you will be built up. That's a miracle. Every single day, God building you up spiritually, building you up emotionally, building you up in every area of your life. That is a miracle. Building you up financially. You've never had savings before, yet God is helping you and building it up. If you return to the Lord, you will be built up. And then he says, if for your works, verses 27 to 28, then you will make your prayers and God will hear you, not just about yourself, about everybody else around you. The Bible says that. And then as you do that, you will pay your vows and then you will make a declaration. You will declare a thing and it will be established. Many of us are very quick to say, I will declare things and it will be established. However, it has procedure. If you have not returned to the Lord, if you have not acquainted yourself with the word of God, what are you going to declare? What are you going to declare? God help me, God help me, God help me. That's not prayer. Okay? That's not prayer of somebody that goes to a word-based church in the year of his word. God help me, help me, help me. After that, what else are you going to say? You say, let's pray for the next 10 minutes. Are you going to say, God help me for 10 minutes? Go and find the word of God that has to do with your situation. God, I'm tired of singleness. What have you got to say about it? It's not even what your pastor has got to say about it. What has God got to say about it? God, I'm tired of lack of productivity. What has God got to say about it? When the Israelites reached their wit's end, they cried out to the Lord. You know what God did? He heard them, he turned around, and he changed their story. Rise to your feet with me this afternoon. I wanted to talk to God. I want to ask the Lord that, God, I want to grow in my spirit this year. I want to experience my miracle this year. The title of the message, where is my miracle? Your miracle is in the word of God. If you find the word, you'll find the miracle. Pray for yourself this afternoon and say, God, help me to get serious with your word. Help me to come against the spirit of doubt. Come against every form of distraction. Come against any form of discouragement in your life. Disobedience, anything that will stop you from walking and working with God and hearing his word and following his instruction. Pray for yourself. That God, this year I want to change. I want to change. If you had a good year last year, you can have a better year this year. But this is the secret. When you acquaint yourself with the word of the Lord, you will be at peace and good will come to you. I know many of us want good to come to us. Stop chasing after good. You need good to come to you. Father, we receive that grace to acquaint ourselves with your word, to lay up your instructions in our heart, to walk in the path that you have ordained for us, to do great works in this year, Lord. Lord, to pay our vows as we have lifted up our hearts unto you. Lord, to honor you in every single thing that we do in the name of Jesus. Father, we're grateful that you have sent your word. Thank you because we will experience your miracle this year, every single one of us. We will not say, where is our miracle? Come December this year, we will be shouting that God has indeed visited us. In Jesus' mighty name. We've prayed. Hallelujah. Please take your seat briefly.